Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. Again, I want to thank you for joining us. We've got hundreds of thousands of listeners across the United States. We're expanding overseas, split up between 56 countries, so we just keep building. And I just want to thank you for sharing us with your friends and family. With that, I'll be talking about ways to optimize your 401k today. But first, we have Krish Klesh. Krish Klesh is the number one travel guru. He's got empowering insight secrets to safe luxury travel, leisure for pennies on the dollars, bringing families together, memories last forever. You're just going to look forward to this, because when I first had Krish on almost about a year ago, he gave us some tips. And quite frankly, those tips led to big, gigantic savings. My son graduated from college in San Luis Obispo. We were scouring, trying to find a hotel and all that kind of stuff for a week, for family and so on. Krish gave us this one tip, and this one tip led us to one of the top hotels in the area. We actually rented out a timeshare from somebody who had a timeshare at that hotel, and we actually did it for about $350 for 7 days, which was real interesting because it runs at $400 a night. So we got it for next to nothing. We had all the guest amenities, all the Wi-Fi, everything that went with the hotel. It was wonderful. We've also done other things, and I'm going to let Krish go into that. I'm just saying, I'm really excited about this because you're going to get a lot out of it. So get out your pens because you don't want to miss it. So with that, I would like to introduce you to Krish Klesh. Krish, thank you so much for joining the show here.
Well, thanks, Steve. It's a pleasure to be with you again, especially in this economy. The topic of travel and leisure and how to save money is just relevant. It's unique, and we're all thinking about it. You know, you're the financial guru, the financial advisor, and obviously with inflation at a 40% high, gas prices, the stock market, 401ks, Roth IRAs, annuities going down 20 or 25% this year. People really want to save money. They're looking for ways to still live their life in a luxury manner with their families and their friends. Now, again, the pandemic shut down travel and leisure. Hotels weren't open, airlines masking, you couldn't get flights and everything. Now, with the vaccinations, the therapeutics, people are starting to travel again. It's called revenge travel. They've been cooped up quarantining, and now they want to go back on that family vacation, the reunion, the weddings, et cetera, going to association meetings. But the problem still arises because of inflation and everything else. People are scared. Their investments are going down. And I try to solve the problem, how to make that affordable. I've been doing this for almost 20 years, and I'm pretty unique. It's in my bloodstream, how to save money. I interview people all over the world, concierges, hotel executives, travel people, tourist people, wherever I go. I subscribe to about 20 blogs, and it's become a drug to me. Really, you don't have to be rich to live rich. And after all, I think your audience agrees. I always start off asking the question. I think we'd all agree that the best things in life aren't the material things. What are they? They're your health, your mental and physical health, your family, those close friends, hopefully your faith, and those precious memories and experiences we all have. And a lot of those memories and experiences do come from travel and leisure, vacations, reunions, Thanksgiving, holidays, spring breaks, etc. And after all, again, I think your audience would agree that we travel not to escape life, but for have life not to escape us. And again, in this down economy and the questionable future and what's going on. People really need to save money, or they're looking to save money. Not everybody's in the upper 1%. Hell, we got President Biden now forced to fly coach on Air Force One. Jill Biden, Hunter Biden paying for checked bags. Hell, I was out in California a couple of weeks ago in LA doing a speaking engagement. I found mafia families dining at the Olive Garden. I'm saying parents firing their nannies, they got to get to know the names of their own kids. Even the Kardashians are losing their ass. I came back to Florida, my kid's school lunch program, instead of macaroni and cheese, it's macaroni or cheese. I go into Costco, I see a guy coming out of Costco with one roll of toilet paper. I mean, this is happening all over. So people are focused on, you know, their income, how to save money. You provide the investment advice they need for their obviously it's a changing world out there for their portfolios. You provide a valuable service. And my expertise comes from 18 years travel and leisure, how to do it economically without breaking the bank, because we've been cooped up. We need this. Everybody needs to retreat, relax, renew, rejoice, and remember for a lifetime. So let's get right into the tips now.
Perfect. Let's do that.
Yeah. The two biggest aspects of travel is airfares and accommodations. That's probably 90% of your travel budget for a typical family vacation. Airfares. Let's take airfares first. I've been flying for free for 18 years. When I say free, I just pay like $5 or $10 a flight for tax for the last 18 years. So how do I do it? The big tip, the number one tip I could give, it's called travel hacking. Everybody knows about credit cards, points, etc. A little confused. So let me try to clarify it. Every major airline is associated with a bank, has their own airline's credit card, and they have sign-up bonuses where you can sign up for their credit card and spend most of them $2,000 to $5,000 over a three-month period and get 50, 60, 70,000 miles. For instance, Delta's sponsored by American Express, JetBlue's with Capital Bank. I fly American a lot. They're with Barclay Bank and Capital Bank. And United has its credit card. Even the low-cost airlines people in your area that want to go to Hawaii, you got Hawaiian Airlines, Aloha Airlines. They all have credit cards. And the idea is to pick the airline of your choice. It's going to get you to your desired destinations and research the credit card sign-up bonuses. And if you leverage this now with yourself and your spouse and maybe your grown children, et cetera, the miles add up. And there's inside secrets that I know. I provide the inside secrets. There's a credit card out there now with American Airlines where all you have to do is make one purchase, a pack of gum, a cup of coffee, fill up your gas tank, and you're going to get 60,000 American Airlines Advantage miles. That's the equivalent of $1,500 gift certificate with American. And with these credit cards, most of them have loyalty. You're going to get free baggage check-in for your entire traveling party. So if you're flying down to Disney World or Hawaii, you're not paying for baggage check-in. Additionally, you're going to get priority boarding. So which that means is after first class, business class, if you're riding in coach, you have a coach ticket, you'll board the plane so you won't have to fight for that overhead compartment space. So to your audience, I recommend that they research. I'll provide my number. I do a little coaching, consulting, professional speaking. All airlines, even the low-cost ones, have their own credit card. And obviously with credit cards, you pay the balance. As you know, as a financial advisor, you never pay interest. Now with interest rates, I think they're going up another 0.75 yesterday with the Fed. Yep. So you're talking 22%. You don't put charges on a credit card that you can't pay off at the end of the month. But this is the way you fly free. And if you have a business, a lot of your audiences, you advise small business owners, et cetera. If they have a business, they could get a credit card in the business name, put expenses on that credit card to meet the minimum. So they could leverage with their self, their spouse, their business, and it all adds up. And you wind up with 200,000 airline miles, and it enables you to fly anywhere in the world for free. And for instance, here's another tip for Southwest Airlines. They're with Chase Bank.
Chris, hold on one second. We're going to have to take a break. Everybody stick with us. Chris is going to give the secrets of Southwest Airlines. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I just want to make sure you all know that replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insights on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Google Play, Spotify, and never miss a show. You can always check out our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, AM FM 247. Thanks to our affiliates. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to live a life of spiritual and financial freedom. Now with that, we've got Chris Kless. But one last thing, you want to go to the savingwithsteve.us website, because if you go to the resource page, you're going to get some special information that we're going to be able to provide you, that we got Coach Chris here that's going to provide for us, and you're going to be able to get that to save yourself some more money on travel. So you definitely want to go to the website there. Again, thanks again for being with us today, Chris. Let's talk about Southwest Airlines and how people can get that big bonus.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. You know, every airline has different bonuses. And with Southwest Airlines, it flies a lot of places. By the way, they don't charge for baggage checking. At one airline, you could check two bags for no charges. But they have a variety of business cards and personal cards. And if you add up your cards to the spending, and when I say spending, you just plan it. Like I mentioned to you before, I put my car insurance on a credit card to make the minimum spending. I put my homeowner's insurance, so it adds up. And with Southwest, if you accumulate about 130,000, they call them rapid reward points or loyalty points, not only do you fly free using those points, you can name a companion to fly free. So if you time it right, again, with Southwest Airlines, you could fly all over the country with a companion for free. I had a client that he wanted to take his son to 5 baseball parks in the summer. He had a son and he just wanted to go to all around the country. And that was his thing, baseball, going to see different teams. And I've turned them on to the Southwest credit card companion pass and the sign-up bonuses. And he had a business and he wound up getting business cards and personal cards. And he had accumulated enough mileage to get 130,000 points. And then he got his son to fly for free. So it can be done. There's specialists out there to just handle this. I won't take up your audience's time now, but I'll give my information if they want to contact me. But every airline has a credit card. And the idea is you can't do, you know, 5 or 10, but choose the one that'll get you to your destination. And again, I'm repeating myself, but I fly a lot too. I used to have a vacation home in Lake Tahoe. I live in Florida, Palm Beach area, and I ski a lot in Vail. So those are the two major destinations that I know American Airlines has the best connections. So obviously, I utilize the American Airlines credit cards. I also go to New York a lot because I'm an ex-conductor to go to Broadway shows. I know Delta, JetBlue fly nonstop. So I obviously have their credit cards. So plan this out. And again, just another tip, using the miles, they're like cash. You got a check just like you would pay for an airline. Different times of the year, there's more miles you have to use, frequent flyer currency, so to speak. So if you could stay away from the holidays, the Christmas, the Thanksgiving, the New Year's, the spring breaks, you're going to save a heck of a lot of miles. And the same thing goes, let's just transition now. The other big expense in travel, that's after you get there.
Can I add something, Chris, here real quick?
Yeah.
I just want to say, when I first talked to Chris, he gave me this tip about Southwest. And my wife referred my daughter. I referred my son. They got 50,000 points. We got 50,000 points. I set up one of the business cards and got another 100,000 points. And I set up another business card for my wife and got 100,000 points. And yeah, I still put stuff on there. But the reality is now my daughter can fly back and forth between college and it doesn't cost us a cent. This is just so easy to do as long as you understand what's going on. And I want to thank you again for giving me that tip, Chris.
Yeah, well, it is a little more complicated. It's not easy, but you have to plan this like anything else. I'm not lying when I say I travel for pennies on the dollar. I fly for free and I'm not married for a flight attendant. You just have to plan this out, do a little research. You need a mentor or coach, like you're a financial consultant. People go to somebody that's an expert in the field to plan their retirement, their long-term care, their investments, etc., because the market changed and they go to you. People come to me to service their dreams as far as travel and leisure, to show them how to do it in luxury now, safely at the lowest possible cost. So it can be done. A lot of times you do need to do a little research or have a, like myself, here it is, I'm the number one travel guru or travel coach, and to find out these things. But let's transition now. The other big expense, obviously, after you get to your desired location, whether it's Hawaii, Disney World, skiing, Aruba, whatever, wherever it is, Las Vegas, New York, Europe, is accommodations. We talked about credit cards. There are hotel credit cards out there, again, signed with American Express, Chase Bank. Pick a loyalty program. The two big ones are Bonvoy, that used to be Marriott Rewards, and then you got Hilton. If you get their credit cards, sign-up bonuses, you usually get 125,000 points that could be used for hotel stays. When you renew the credit card, you get a free night that's probably worth $300. Put your spending on the hotel credit card. And again, you're not paying for hotel charges, and they upgrade you into loyalty. I'm the top of the chain, for instance, with Marriott. Every time I check into a Marriott, Ritz-Carlton, Courtyard, I get upgraded to a suite. And you also get late checkout times. I check out at 4 o'clock, free breakfasts. When I go to New York, I'm in the hotels. I'm on the concierge lounge with free breakfast, free happy hours, etc. You get treated like loyalty. So figure out what hotel chain you want to be a part of. I'm just using Marriott as an example. They're called Bonvoy now. Bonvoy reward points. Hilton has their points. Hyatt has their own program. Which hotel chain you use for your personal use and business use. And that's how you stay in hotels for free. But the big thing now is my big tip, number one tip that people will utilize, you've already utilized it. When you're going on that typical family vacation, the 7-night vacation to tourist destinations, the resorts, and everybody thinks hotels, resorts, especially if they have a family, they got to get two rooms, a suite, and it's a lot of money. I don't care if you're going to New York, Disney World, you're going to Hawaii, whether you're going to Maui, Hawaii, Kohalina, etc., it costs a lot of money. So here's an alternative. Forget the word hotel. I tell my audience when I'm speaking out on stage, alternative, forget the word hotel. Why? Because Marriott, Hilton, Hyatt, Westin, Disney, Starwood, Wyndham, even Holiday Inn, they all are hotels. We've stayed there. They're all over the world. But besides hotels and resorts, they all have vacation club or timeshare products. All these timeshares are located in key tourist destinations all over Hawaii, Las Vegas, Orlando. I mentioned myself, I'm a skier. I ski in Lake Tahoe, Park City, Vail, and you could rent from an owner. Now, not from the hotel chain. You go on the internet, one tip, redweek.com, redweek.com. That lists all these resorts by area where owners are trying to rent out their timeshare. A lot of them are older. They can't travel because of illness or something. And you could rent out their timeshares and really just pay their maintenance charge. And for this, you're going to get triple the space, triple the amenities for a third the price of a hotel room. And I use myself as an example. I go to Vail every year, and a Vail hotel room in the ski season, I'm a ski bum, I admit it, goes for anywhere between $800 or $900 and $2,200 a night. It goes up to $2,200 a night. And that does not include tax or valet parking, et cetera. So add that on. Nice hotel room. But you could go on to Red Week. You don't have to own anything for Marriott. A half mile down the road, they have a timeshare. They call it vacation club now. Vacation clubs are really timeshares. Timeshare got a bad name because of the bad sales practices. So it's Marriott Vacation Club, Hilton Vacation Club. And you can stay in a one-bedroom unit or a two-bedroom unit. One bedroom could sleep six. You're going to get a full kitchen, a fireplace, a balcony, a washer dryer, a clubhouse now with indoor, outdoor pools, weight room, sauna, steam room, the whole bit, free transportation, right, for me, like me, right to the ski slope. And you're going to pay a third the price of a hotel room. And I'm talking about $200 to $300 a night, no tax, free Wi-Fi. You can do this. And you could do it whether you're going skiing like me, you go to Hawaii. You don't have to pay for the luxury resorts. You rent a timeshare or vacation club from an owner. And besides all the hotel chains I mentioned, Marriott, Hilton, Hyatt, Westin, Disney, Starwood, et cetera, there's a lot of independent timeshares all over. There's thousands of them. And if you go on the internet, a lot of them are really inexpensive. And I sort of recommend during this post-COVID thing, stick with the hotel chains because they're managed by hotels. You know you're going to get the sanitization standards. You're going to get full resort amenities. I myself, for instance, live here in Florida at a beautiful golf resort. Like I said, I got one heck of a backyard, four golf courses, 23 tennis courts, spa, et cetera. But I go 10 miles away to my Marriott timeshare where I own, and it's a full resort. I probably stay there the equivalent of a month a year. My son comes down. And you're getting a beautiful ocean view room. Again, full kitchen, washer, dryer, Wi-Fi, two or three flat screen TVs and all the activities. And you're going to pay less than Motel 6 rates. So your audience should realize is another accommodations choice. Think about for that weekly family vacation, renting a timeshare or vacation club from an owner on that website.
Our time is coming up. We have about 20 seconds left. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, how do they go about doing it?
Yeah, well, for your audience, Steve, I would say give me a call directly. I'll take their calls and give them a 15-minute consultation, point them in the right direction, et cetera. I do speaking engagements if they have an association, trade group, or I think this type of information would be valuable. I expand on this, obviously, how to rent a car and everything else, really to save 90 to 95% of the travel costs. Call me at this number. This is my home cell number. Be glad to take their call and point them in the right direction. That's 561-386-2986. I repeat, 561-386-2986. Just say you saw me on Steve's show. I'm the travel coach. And also, if they want a free ebook, I have a free ebook I send to them, 99 Travel Tips Without Skimping. My email, my corporate email is lifetimeleisure, that's one word, at bellsouth.net. Just send me an email. Say you want the book, include your email, and I'll send it out to you. It's an ebook, so you could download it with 99 travel tips. But the best thing to do is give me a call. I'm giving you that consultation for free. Or really, if you have a group, you're part of an association, I'm a breakout session speaker. I'm also a comedian to give this valuable information. Really, how we could bring families together so their memories last forever in the travel industry for just pennies on the dollar.
Hey, thank you so much, Chris. Our time is up. I want to thank you for being with us today and sharing this because I know our guests, our listeners and our viewers are very, very excited to get this information. And by the way, we're going to put your 99 tips up on our resource page, as well as your information, so people can give you a call and get in contact with you and learn a whole lot more. And I think it's wonderful. You're giving them free 15 minutes of your time. And I think that's beautiful. So thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Steve. I thank everybody now. Again, I'm repeating myself, especially in this environment with stress in this country. Families, friends, we all need that to get away for corporate wellness, et cetera. Retreat, just think. Retreat, relax, renew, rejoice, and remember for a lifetime. We can do that through Travel and Leisure.
Thanks for being with us today. We'll see you next time, Chris.
All right. Bye-bye. It's a pleasure. Thank you, Steve.
Stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything in the sun that relates to you having a happy, healthy relationship with money. I want to reward you for joining us here today by just giving you some good tips, ways to optimize your 401k. If your employer offers a 401k match, take it, okay? If you're in the market for a new job, prioritize the potential employer that offers a 401k in the matching program. Keep in mind, most companies, you'll need to be fully vested in the 401k to keep the employer match, but it means you should stay a couple years, maybe 5 years, and be fully vested. Every company has a different 401k, so make sure you know what you're getting into before you do it, which means read the benefit package. I want to say this. You know what? My son just graduated from college. He went to work for this one company. And you know what? The reality is they actually match 6% of whatever he contributes. That's beautiful. Think about that. If he's contributing 6% of his wages, which is $6,000 a year, and he can only contribute $20,000 now, that means 26. So instead of taking 5 years to contribute $100,000, he can now do it in 4. And in an environment right now where the market is down, he's able to buy more shares, which means he's dollar cost averaging. And you know what? When it comes to saving for retirement, it's an accumulation sport. The more you can accumulate, the better you're going to be. The only time that dollar cost averaging doesn't work for you and just focusing on growth is when you're a few years away from retirement or in retirement. You know what? Don't accept a default savings rate. When you sign up for your company's 401k plan, the default saving rate is usually 3% of your paycheck getting allocated to your 401k. So that's the new default that we have here in the United States. They want to contribute 3%. Okay, great. For many people, it's probably not enough. Okay. The goal is to save 1% every year until you get to the allocation of 20%. So think about this. If you're only able to contribute $300 or $400 a month, fine. But every chance you get, increase it by 1%, increase it by 1%, increase it by 1% until you hit the maximum. That way you'll get to the point where you're contributing the maximum amount. And if you've already hit the maximum amount, use your assets to make sure your bills are lower, debts lower, the whole shot. Next, maximize your tax break. Your 401k allows you to defer paying income tax on the money you save. In 2022, you contribute $20,500 into your 401k. If you're over 50, it's $27,000. That's a lot of money to put away. So you want to make sure you go about doing that. And the other thing is, don't cash out early. If you withdraw early from your 401k or IRA, that means before 59 and a half, you're subject to a 10% early withdrawal penalty. And on top of that, on your withdrawal, you're going to have to pay interest. Okay. So it's really important you pay attention to that. It makes a big difference. The next thing is look at ways to minimize fees within the 401k. Hey, your 401k has mutual funds. All those mutual funds, they have fees. They have, you know, 12b-1 fees. They have fees for the fund manager, all sorts of those things. You should look through the investments, okay? A 1% fee over a 30-year period of time could cost you $144,000 in your savings. So you want to make sure, one, you've got something that's going to perform, and two, you want to make sure it has the lowest fees. The better you understand that, the more money you'll save, the quicker you'll save to the point where you can have an option to work. Now, again, I want to thank you all for joining us here on Saving with Steve, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. You know, hopefully you'll stay safe and healthy, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week right here on Saving with Steve. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. I want to thank you for sharing with your friends, your family, your associates, not only here, but overseas. We're very grateful our audience continues to grow. And big topic today, with all that's going on economically, we've got inflation, increased unemployment, interest rate increases. We're starting to see the systemic bank issues, and we're more and more people are beginning to see how the credit crunch is going to hit them on a individual level. And hey, the recession is here. It's taking hold. But don't worry, we have Dana Miranda. She's here to talk about how to take the stress out of money management. That's a good intro now, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Happy to be here, Steve.
I'm glad you're here.
Don't worry. Here's all of our economic issues, but don't worry. Dana Miranda's here.
I was going to say, there's a small order there. Now, today, I'm also going to be talking about 2023 tax scams and how to avoid them. So that's an important piece there. But let's talk a little bit about Dana. For those of you who don't know Dana Miranda, she's a certified educator in personal finance. She's an author and a personal finance journalist. She's a founder of Healthy Rich, a platform for inclusive, budget-free financial education, where she works with organizations, schools, companies dedicated to making money better for folks who are often left out of the conversation about money. Now, one of the cool things about this is people have been paying attention to Dana all over the place because she has been a financial contributor for money for Forbes, Insider, Culture Study, the New York Times, CNBC, Motley Fool, Next Advisor, US Today, Inc., Magazine, and others. So we're really happy that Dana's here. And again, I just want to say thank you for being here and welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I always like to ask just straight out of the gate, what got you on this path? You know, what's your story?
It wasn't super linear. When I got into personal finance, I didn't think that I would be interested in it at all. I was a freelance writer, just trying to get by, trying to figure out what I would sort of focus on, what my strengths were. And I got an opportunity for a job as a staff writer for a personal finance media startup. And I wanted to work with the staff. I wanted a full-time job, but I thought personal finance would be boring. And I thought, I'll get into it. I'll give it at least a year and see how it goes. And I got into it and ended up loving it. I loved writing about personal finance. I knew really nothing about sort of financial products and our financial systems and the economy when I started. And I was able to learn and kind of get a masterclass in all of that as a journalist through writing about it. And I loved that. So I, you know, kind of developed my expertise as I was doing it and also developed that kind of passion for teaching others the things that I was learning, because it's so much that we're just not taught generally. And so I did that job full time for 4 years. And then I was a freelance writer in the space for about 2.5 years. And I noticed that all of the sites that I was writing for were sort of sharing the same advice and the same information. And I thought that there was a lot of nuance missing. We were hearing from a lot of the same kinds of voices that are dominant in our culture in general, and really missing voices from women and people of color, LGBT people, people with disabilities, and people from like a rural background where I grew up. And So I wanted to make a space to invite a place for those people to talk about their relationship with money and sort of show us what we were missing in the space. So it was education for myself and also just a place to amplify those voices. So I created Healthy Rich with that in mind, started as the idea of building a media company. So I started as a blog, but this year I'm actually moving in the direction of education and training. So we still share stories on the blog to connect with people and build that community. And as a business, I work with organizations as a consultant and to offer training and resources to help schools and organizations incorporate personal finance education.
It sounds like it's been a long, fun journey for you.
It has. Yeah. There's a lot to chew on in this space. So there's always kind of something new to learn and explore.
So let's talk about how we can de-stress when it comes to money management. Just kind of shed what most people, you know what, I have a very good idea of what most people are, but I'd love for your perspective on it, because sometimes when it's not my perspective, you reach more people because they've heard me before.
Sure.
So, you know, I've also done a lot of those things on the news, and it was really interesting what you said, because I remember doing a report a few years back, and I was on my local TV station here, not too far away in San Diego, California. And I went through this topic and they thought it was a great thing. And the next thing I know, I'm seeing Channel 4 News at night. It's the same thing. And they're like, my words. I'm like, what's going on? But then you realize, hey, sometimes those stories get pushed along, and, you know, I'm happy that somebody used what my thoughts to push the story along a little bit more. So that's kind of cool. But let's talk about how people can de-stress when it comes to money management, especially in times like these.
Yeah, I think you touched on some really good points. All of those sort of big, scary economic things that are happening around us. There's always something happening, and sometimes the news media is amplifying it. Sometimes politics are amplifying it, and sometimes they're not. They're downplaying it. So, but sort of what underlies so much of that is that most of us really don't know a lot about how any of it works. We don't know a lot about what's really going on with the economy, what inflation really means, what recession really means. And then at a more micro level, we also don't understand a whole lot about how our financial systems work, how they impact our lives, the products that we use and services that we use. We often just kind of get pushed into them because we're told that those are the right steps to take, but don't really understand how they work. And so it makes it really difficult and stressful to make decisions within that environment about, you know, what is the right job to take if there's a recession looming, and how is that going to impact my life if I make a change right now? Or should I take out debt right now? Should I take out a mortgage and buy a new house right now? Like, when you're trying to make those decisions without understanding how any of these systems actually work, that's a really stressful place to work from. And so I always start with, because I'm a financial educator, or maybe I'm a financial educator because of this, but I always start with that kind of base of knowledge. I think it's really important that we have more conversations about how our economy works and how our financial systems and services and products work, so that people can make informed decisions about how to use them in their life. And for me, with getting that experience and having the privilege of getting that masterclass as a financial journalist, it took a lot of stress out of my life. Part of that was getting that full-time job that I was, you know, that I was happy to have. But I was still working, you know, dealing with a lot of debt at the time. I was still, you know, unable to get a credit card and had a low credit score. I was a renter and, you know, still dealing with money management issues, but gaining that understanding about having a better understanding about how all of this really worked and would impact my life made it a lot less stressful to make those decisions.
Oh, I totally agree. The more education you have, the more confidence you have, the better consumer you are, especially when it comes to your money. And with all that's going on right now, and I just look at it, it's like one economic mess after the next, because everything has a consequence. A lot of people don't understand what's going on or are sticking their head in the sand. They're going to get hurt worse than they even realize. So, yeah. But the other part is, I have even found this with my kids. Once they got control and understood how things affected things, life got a lot easier and a lot more stressful. So, you know, I have a daughter who we've been slowly but surely pulling back the money And she's, you know, going through college and all that stuff. And she's had to figure out how to make her master year work for herself. And she had to work and budget and everything. And you know what, there was going to be a period of time where she wasn't going to have any income, what her savings work. And she had to figure it all out. But when she figured it out, she knows exactly what she can spend, when she can spend it and all that kind of stuff. The stress level in her is just gone way down.
Right.
Because now she knows how to control it. So I think that's really cool. And that kind of leads me to one of the first questions is, what's a budget culture and what does it mean for the way we manage money? Because that's, you know, one of the biggies.
Yeah. So budget culture is the term that I use to describe the kind of prevailing paradigm for how we approach the way we talk about money and the way that we teach money in our culture, which impacts like our relationships with money and how we manage money. And it's, I liken it to diet culture, which a lot of people are more familiar with the idea that we approach money kind of first from this place of restriction and discipline. That tends to be sort of the first answer we go to. So if with budgeting specifically, if we're struggling with money in some way, like if someone has a lot of debt and is feeling debt restricted or not earning enough money, having trouble paying bills or something like that, that the first place that a lot of financial advice kind of sends you is to find where to restrict your spending. So make a budget, cut the amount of money that you're spending. And that's not always the right answer for everyone, but it's kind of an easy answer to give because it's very easy to sort of then push the responsibility and the blame on the individual. And it doesn't look at those other nuances, like I was talking about, that I see missing a lot in personal finance advice and education and media, that money is really intersects with so many parts of your life. So we can't ignore the systemic issues that create inequalities and make it harder for some people to make certain money moves and to have access to financial products and services and to have access to money and equal pay in general. That's a really important base that we have to look at for a person's financial circumstances before recommending something like just make a budget or get out of debt. But there are also a lot of other pieces to our relationship with money that typical financial advice often ignores. So there's your history and relationship with money, how you were brought up. I believe I mentioned that I grew up in a working class environment before I came into the personal finance space. And I don't see that addressed a lot. I see a lot of information and the voices tend to be coming from a middle class perspective. And that's a really different experience, whether it's about the amount of money I have or just the relationship and the way that I approach money. And so you have to sort of advise people differently. And people need, just like in any relationship you have, your relationship with money has to include that sort of full spectrum of the things that are going on in your life. It's not really practical to just take an economic look and assume that people can work sort of mathematically and just work from a spreadsheet, because humans don't really work that way. And so budget culture as a way of approaching money it sort of silos finances and assumes that we can just take that optimal mathematical approach to money and leaves out all of those other nuances. And so I propose that we bring back in the other nuances. That's why Healthy Rich as a platform starts with storytelling, so that we can get a better understanding starting from that place of your relationship with money and how it is related to your whole personhood, and not just a set of rules sort of that are meant to be one size fits all.
Perfect. Everybody, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back and we're going to have more Dana Miranda. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a minute here with some more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much every single cent relates to you having a healthy, happy relationship. Now, I want to truly thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you for letting your friends and family associates know about the show. Again, all the replays are available at www.savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information, insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show, and check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Now, you can also follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. There's an insiders club. You can take a look at all the background stuff and take a look at Dana drinking coffee and everything. Just kidding. You know what? There's a lot of guest gifts back there. You can go take a look at those things. And you know what? Here we have more Dana Miranda. And Dana, again, thank you for being here. I appreciate you sharing about budget culture and what that really means. And you talked a little bit about, you know, how we currently teach personal finances. When it comes to, you know, what's really missing from most money management methods, that's one of the things that really got me when you're talking about, hey, what's missing there? Because there's a lot of times, whether it's me or somebody else, they're talking with somebody and there's a disconnect. So how do we bridge that disconnect?
So what I see missing is broadly that nuance that I mentioned that I feel like budget culture does, you know, kind of leaves out. A budget culture approach to money management really ignores the nuance of money itself, of human beings, and our experiences in life in general, because money management methods, budgeting specifically, they often start with a budget. Really focus on sort of things that you can put in a spreadsheet or a calculator. So anything you can sort of list out spending categories and spending limits. You can note the amount of money that you spend somewhere and where it was spent. You can list spending goals and target dates, savings goals, target dates for your savings, things like that. But it's all things that just sort of fit into a neat little box. And we know that humans don't really fit into a neat little box. You know that from your experience. Anytime you're really trying to do that, it's never quite lines up. And it's hard to reduce your life to something like a spreadsheet. And so when you try to do that with a budget, that is really what you're doing, is reducing all of and taking all that nuance out of your life, because Dana, money interacts with every part of your life.
So how do we get into those? Give us an example of how we should look at it with the nuances.
So I start with thinking about your relationship with money, which is related to how a lot of people talk about like a money mindset. So thinking about what influences how you think and feel about money, I think it's important to start there. So I have a ton of kind of questions and prompts that you can go through, but just start to think about your like family history, your background and upbringing, your childhood experiences and recent experiences, times that you have heard people talking about money and how that might have influenced you. How did you hear your parents talk about money growing up and other adults around you? How did you hear people on TV and in the media talking about money? And then more recently, what kinds of things have impacted your relationship with money? When you've had to make financial decisions, what were the consequences? What were the influences? So taking into consideration, it's a lot of kind of psychological things. So sort of anything that you do to better kind of get in tune with yourself and understand yourself is a really good way to better understand your relationship with money too, and to start to look at those dynamics more, so that when you have to make a financial decision, you're starting from that place of understanding instead of searching for some one size fits all rule that is usually not a perfect fit for any individual.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, if you grew up with parents that says, okay, we'll get it now, but we'll figure it out later, which might be very dangerous, especially for kids. You know what, it's one of those things to understand that's where you're coming from. And that, you know what, you could take a look at a lot of people who've done that and you could see where they are in the retirement phase. They're still working when maybe you don't want to. So you have to change that nuance.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it can sort of go both ways. You might've been taught something or you might've seen something and sort of push back against that as an adult. That was definitely my experience growing up in a working class and conservative community. We were very much pushed to focus on work ethic, work hard, spend very little, and avoid debt at all costs. And that was sort of all I knew about money. And then I got into my 20s and just sort of rebelled against that because that level of discipline didn't make sense for how I approach life. And so I just assumed that I was going to be someone who was bad with money because I was only given that one model for what it means to be good with money and was fighting against that, just like I was fighting against sort of the model for living that I'd learned in general in that environment. And so I had to unlearn that and also understand where that was coming from, what I was, you know, and what parts of it were in me and how that was impacting the decisions I was making around money.
Yeah. I think it's kind of tough to recognize the triggers.
Yes.
Because everybody has their parents in them. Everybody has their teachers in them. You just got to recognize, oh my God, am I dad or my mom? What's going on? But once you recognize those things, it gets a lot easier. So good.
Okay. Yeah. It's a starting point.
So what's, you know, when it comes to the most important things people should know about investing, what are those?
Investing is a huge topic, but I really like to boil it down to just a couple of things. And the first thing that I like to say really is to often ignore a lot of the advice that you're hearing about investing. I'm not an investment advisor. And so I'm not telling people like which specific investments to make, funds to put money into, stocks to pick or anything like that. But I don't think that in general, that most of us should be paying attention to that kind of information anyway. That sort of investing is a lot more like gambling and relies a lot more on luck and a ton of privilege of having money to lose, essentially, in order to take the kinds of risks that can get the big wins that we might hear about in headlines. So for most people, if you're going to invest in the stock market, experts, this is not something I made up, experts in general recommend putting your money into just stable index funds, which I don't, it's possibly something that you've covered in the past, but for anyone who's listening that is not familiar, an index fund is a type of mutual fund, which means it has a bunch of company stocks in it rather than picking and supporting just one company. And an index fund specifically follows a particular stock index. So if you look at something like the S&P 500, it's going to be invested with weighted investments that follow what is going on with the S&P 500 companies. And so basically, you will be able to, your investments will just track the performance of the market in general. And it's a way to keep some stability and have diversity in your investments rather than sort of trying to go after particular companies because you want to be the person who invested in Apple in the 80s and, you know, and had that stock blow up or something. Those kinds of things are a lot, those decisions are a lot harder to make and a lot riskier for the average investor. And studies show even professional investment fund managers tend to either do about the same or underperform index funds. So index funds kind of are tend to be the safest and most reliable place for an investment.
Well, basically index funds and mutual funds, their wealth creation vehicles are wonderful. We just have a few minutes. How can people get in contact with you if they're looking for a financial coach, somebody to help them?
The best way to follow Healthy Rich and keep up with what we're doing is through our newsletter at Substack. So at healthyrich.co. There you can see the stories that I mentioned that we're hearing from contributors. And you'll also see a little bit more about the work I'm doing when we have new services and classes. If you work with a nonprofit organization or in a school and are interested in, are being tasked with being a financial educator or are interested in adding personal finance education, I would love to talk to anybody who's doing that. So you can find me at healthyrich.co and contact me that way. But I always love to connect with people who are interested in adding financial education to whatever work they're doing as well.
That's wonderful. Dana, I want to thank you so much for being part of our show today. I love it when somebody comes in and just kind of talks about the real truths of what's going on as opposed to the speak. So it makes a big difference. And I would encourage everybody to go check out Healthy Rich. And with that, I hope you have a wonderful day and we'll look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here.
Stay tuned. We're right back in a minute here with some more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. What I'd like to talk to you about today, right now, is this. Tax scams. One of the things that did happen, if you didn't already know, is you required to file your taxes by the middle of April. It's now the middle of October, okay, which is a wonderful thing, but it also means tax scams are going to happen throughout the year, okay? And you know what? Don't let any of these happen to you, okay? So let's just walk through. I've got 10 or 12 of them. I'm going to go through quickly. So you want to make sure you understand it. Now, you might get a call or an email that says, we've recalculated your tax refund and you need to fill out this form, okay? The email will you show an IRS logo, tax refund payment or recalculation of every tax refund. It asks people to click on a link and provide their social security information, birthday address, and so on and so forth, okay? This is all fake. The scammers may also sometimes use an EDU address, okay? But this is all fake. Don't fall for it. Next, let us help you sign up for an IRS account. Setting up an online account with the IRS can get you access to valuable information such as payment history or transaction transcripts. You can even sign up for and manage an IRS payment form. But if somebody wants to help you do it, you don't need to. They're going to be asking you for things like your social security numbers, tax identification numbers, photo IDs, other thing to be helpful. All this is a scam, okay? I want to make sure this is really clear. The IRS doesn't email you. They don't call you. They don't reach out to you through a website, okay? You're going to get a letter from the IRS that says you owe money or do something. You know what? The next thing is let us file a casualty loss for you. Victims of natural disaster can be prime targets for scammers today. So you know, they want to get your hands on your sensitive information, such as social security numbers and financial records. They may call you, email, or even reach out on social media posing as fake charities or even claiming to be IRS agents who can help you file casualty loss claims. You don't want to do that. You want to call the IRS disaster assistance line at 866-562-5227 for official information. Again, if you're, you know what, had a disaster loss, call 866-562-5227. Some people might be calling saying they're from the FDIC. We need your bank information. The FDIC is the Federal Depository Insurance Corporation. They deal with banks. They don't ever call anybody. They are regulators. They only deal with the banks. They'll never deal with you individually. So it's fake. You know what? We're calling to tell you your identity's been stolen. We need you to buy some gift cards to fix it. Hey, criminals call and do this all the time. Anytime somebody wants a gift card or a cashier's check or anything like that to solve a big problem, it's fake, okay? The next one, we canceled your social security number. It's a scam. Nobody cancels your social security number ever, okay? This is the Bureau of Tax Enforcement. We're putting a lien or levy on your assets. There is no Bureau of Tax Enforcement. Victims often receive letters from fake agencies claiming they have tax liens or tax levies. You know what? And they're better pay up. That doesn't exist. If you don't call us back, you're going to be arrested. IRS doesn't arrest you. They go after your money, but they don't arrest you. The other thing is, use the form W8BE. To give us personal information, okay? That W-8-B-E-M form is called a Certificate of Foreign Status of Beneficial Owner of United States Tax Withholding. Yeah, it's a legitimate IRS form, but criminals use it to modify forms for personal information, such as mother's maiden name, passport number, PIN numbers, all that stuff, okay? Click out here to see some details about your tax refund. These are intended to trick the reader into clicking on a link that leads to a fake IRS-like website. And they expose the user to malware. Hey, you don't want to do that. We're from the Taxpayers Advocacy Service. We need information. Hey, it's a legitimate organization that helps people get assistance with IRS problems, but it doesn't call taxpayers for any reason. They don't email you. They don't call you. They don't social media. So if you get something like this, unless you've reached out to them first, it's a scam. Click on to see your tax transcript. This is also a scam. Take this FBI survey. FBI doesn't do surveys. You owe federal student tax. Guess what? There's no federal student tax. It never existed. You don't need to sign your tax return ever, even though we've prepared it. If somebody does not sign your tax return that prepared it, it's a scam. Go report them. They're called a ghost preparer. They want to charge you fees and everything, or they get a split on what they saved you, but it's all about selling you down the river. So you never want to do that, because they might save you a whole bunch of money, but you're going to get a letter 3 years later when the IRS figures it out, and you're going to be still stuck with the money and they're going to be long gone. So folks, I went through these fast. You need to pay attention to these things. Listen to us a couple times. Again, I want to thank you for listening here today on Saving with Steve. Our goal is to get you information that makes you better consumers. And you know what? Look forward to seeing you next week. Stay safe, stay healthy. See you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.